I'm going to ask that you remain standing and turn to Hebrews chapter 4 in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 4, as I read the word, and verses 1 through 16 is where we will be reading. I'll wait just a moment. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about a seventh day and the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And these who had formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has gone into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. The Lord will bless his word as it's been read. You may be seated. This morning, my message is entitled, The Three Necessities of the Word. Before I get into exactly what I'm going to be talking about and sharing with you this morning, I just happened to pick this up this morning out of my Bible. I stuck it into my Bible. It is the Focus on the Family bulletin that the church hands out, and so probably all of you have read it. But on the very last page of it, almost the very last part of it, it's a segment entitled Tough Questions from Kids, and it gives the answers. And here's the answer. It doesn't give the question, but the answer is that it is important to study the Bible because it is God's message to us. Studying it helps us to learn life's lessons and to go out and find out how to live. We learn God's will so we can obey him. Studying the Bible is like reading a story many, many times. Each time you see something different and you learn some more. For 35 years now, I have been preaching, and this has been probably one of the, there are several, but this has been one of the main themes of my preaching, and that is the power and the necessity of the Word of God. I began this when I started out my ministry because I believe so strongly in the power of the Word of God. And through the years, we've heard of different churches that have downplayed the Word of God or its accuracy or its infallibility. But all the while, in my heart of hearts, I just have held to it because to me, there is nowhere else to go The Word was made flesh, the Bible tells us. That's Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And to my mind, you cannot talk about Jesus without talking about the Word of God. It seems to me that they're inseparable. And if you go back to the Old Testament and before the message, the other day I was doing some studying, and this was really interesting to me. It actually, as you noticed, found its way into our liturgy this morning under the Old Testament reading, and that's Psalms 119. As I studied that out, every section, and most of you would notice that it's sectioned off. The first section is Aleph, the second is Beth, the third is Gimel, and some Bibles are different as to how they pronounce those letters, but those are letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and according to my research, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, the last one being Tau. Each one means something, and if you wanted to take the time, you can go through and you can actually pick out of that section something of the Word of God, something about the Word of God that letter stands for. And it, to me, it was just powerful. But I especially like the text we read. How can a young man keep his way pure? Excuse me. By living according to your word. If there has ever been a true word spoken, there has never been a more truer word than that. How can a young man, we're talking to the young people today, keep his way pure? By taking heed, by listening, by living according to the Word of God. I believe in the Word of God. I don't believe it's just for the person that graduates from high school at 18 and then they start reading it. Or maybe 21 when they graduate from college, they start reading it. Or maybe when they have a family at 27, they start reading it. I believe in the Word of God from the youngest days up. When our children were very little, we bought them Bibles that were picture Bibles. Before they could even read, they were looking at the picture Bibles. We felt it was so important to get the Word of God in their hearts. When they became teenagers, you know how teenagers are. We love teenagers. But they don't always do what you want them to do. But one of the things that we ask our children to do as teenagers was to have a time of devotion, of reading the Word of God. And I'm just going to share this story. My son's not here. If he were, I'd get in such big trouble that I wouldn't live it down. Our son, frequently, he'd come to the dinner or breakfast table, and I'd look at him, and you could always tell, I don't know what it is, but you could always tell if he'd had his devotions or if he'd read the Bible. And so many days, I'd look at him and I'd say, "You didn't read your Bible today, did you?" And he'd look at me and he'd go, "No." And I said, "You need to go read it." It made a difference. It made a difference in his demeanor. And I'm sure that even though my wife is probably a little less direct and more gracious than I was to our son, I'm sure she probably feels the same way about me, that she could probably tell the difference if I didn't read the Bible in a given day. It is so, so important to the child of God's life, excuse me, the Word of God. There is absolutely nothing like it. The Word of God is vital to our lives, and I want to share with you three necessities as I see it, how it shows its vitality to our life. The first is that the Word of God brings us to God. That's why it is so important in our services that the Word of God be given a place, and it is of preeminence, because the Word of God brings us to God. That has several fold messages to it. First of all, it brings us to God as believers. When we come into the house of God, one of the first things we hear is the Old Testament and the New Testament lessons. It brings us to God when we're believers. Excuse me. As I sit down in my easy chair every morning and open the scripture up, and I have a pattern I follow. In the beginning of the morning, the Bible brings me to God, but it also brings the unbeliever, the person who has never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It brings them to God. How many people, probably even sitting in our own congregation, have had the experience that their eyes were opened to their need for a Savior by the Word of God? It was such a blessing to me. My daughter's home, my daughter and son-in-law both served the Lord, and the Bible has a preeminent place in their home, and they talk about Jesus a lot. One day, our little granddaughter, 4 years old, said to her mama, "Mama, can I ask Jesus into my heart?" What a joy. The Word of God brings us to God. It just does. And the first step in coming to Christ is to have, to have the good news proclaimed to us. Verse number 2, "For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because it was not combined with faith." Some people receive and some don't. Just because someone doesn't receive doesn't mean that the word is not powerful. Amen. The word of God has the power to bring us to God. And there is a rest or a salvation that Christ offers, and it's a finished work. There's nothing I can add to it. I can't add anything to the rest that Christ brings. Verse 4 says, "For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, 'On the seventh day, God rested from all his works.'" Now Hebrews 4:3 says, "We who have believed enter that rest," just as God has said. We enter that rest. Word rest is used some 8 times in this passage. Seems to me that God thinks it's important. You ever become weary in your Christian life? I imagine so. We probably all have. Find a place and get into the Word. God promises in his Word that we will find rest for our soul. And to rest is to conceal oneself or to hide oneself. And there's probably no place better to be than be hidden in the hand of God. The second necessity of the Word of God that demonstrates its vitality in our lives is the Word brings us growth in Christ. Everybody loves it when a new baby comes into the world. We've probably talked too much about it, but you're going to hear just one more time, okay? And then hopefully I'll be done with it. But we had the opportunity when we were in Texas to be present at the birth of our third grandchild. And I must say, she's the cutest baby you've ever seen. For some reason, was thrust into the position of being the coach. I had done it with Doris 3 times. The coach to my daughter during her labor. And I thought, this seems a little bit weird. But later she said, "Daddy, you helped me through it." But about halfway through, my other daughter came in, and I gladly turned it over to her. And then my wife, when the baby was born, I got kicked out of the room, but my wife was asked by my daughter to come in and got to see our granddaughter born. And she's the most beautiful baby. I've already said that once. Get off it, Tim. But you know, if she stayed like that, that would be weird. If for years and years and years and years she just stayed this little baby, that would be weird. She's not going to stay a little baby. She's going to grow up. And then about 4 or 5 years from now when I preach to you, I'll say she's the most beautiful little girl you've ever seen. But that's how life is. We grow up. That's how Christianity ought to be. We grow up. It's sad to me when people come to Christ and they know Christ, but they never grow up. And I'm going to tell you something today that I believe with all my heart, that a person who does not grow up in Christ is a person who has not spent time in the Word of God. I can almost guarantee you, I can guarantee you this morning that if you will spend your daily time in the Word of God, you will grow in Christ. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You'll grow in Christ because the Word of God brings us growth. The Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. The Word of God is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you were to encounter a double-edged sword in a battle or a fight of some type, I'm sure it would change your life, and not for the better. The emphasis is on change. When you encounter the double-edged sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and hopefully daily, it will change your life for the better. In the Bible we read, Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Revelation 1:16, in His right hand He held 7 stars, and out of His mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. That's the Word of God. Revelation 2:12, these are the words of Him who has a sharp double-edged sword. What are those words? Jesus prayed them, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy truth word is truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27, it says, husbands, love your wives. That's free of charge. Even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it. That's growth, friends. With the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is what the sanctifying power of the Word of God does in our heart. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we live. It changes the way we act. It changes the way we talk. If we will study the Word of God, we will be a changed person on a daily basis. So the Word of God brings us to God. The Word of God causes us to grow in Christ. And the Word of God keeps us for heaven. Hebrews 4:14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet He did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. This whole idea of the Word of God keeping us for heaven is interesting, because when you're young, you really don't give it much thought. When you get a little bit older, it does play with your mind. But then when you start to mature, it becomes more of a reality, because it seems like it's a little bit closer even still. Although none of us know, do we, when the time when God calls us home will be. I am privileged to be in a Bible study here at the church every Wednesday night. Larry leads it. And every one of the people who come to our Bible study, Larry is older than me. And we've talked about heaven before. It's a real place. And the Word of God prepares us. It prepares us for our home in heaven. We must hold firmly to our faith. And I so appreciate those that are involved in the Bible study, because as I said, they're all older than me, and they're people who have held on to their faith. We must hold on to our faith until we reach our final destination, which is not always easy. And it's hard for our young people, and we need to pray for them and encourage them. 1 Timothy was given this charge in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here's the words: this charge I command commit unto thee, son Timothy, Paul is speaking, according to the prophecies that went on before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, with some having put away concerning the faith, have been made shipwreck. And that word played in my mind this week, shipwreck, shipwreck. God, don't let me ever become shipwreck, is my prayer. How many people, like Hymenaeus here, concerning the faith have been made shipwreck? Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme me? I would make an observation, and I'm coming near to the end of my sermon. As a pastor of 35 years, when someone becomes a new believer in Jesus Christ, those that make the word a part of their lives, preferably daily a part of their lives, will make it as a child of God, and years later will continuing to serve the Lord. Those who do not approach the book, the word, they're not going to make it. They're going to wander off and very possibly become shipwrecked like Hymenaeus in Alexandria. The word of God, I cannot overemphasize how important it is to every believer, to our young people, to our newlyweds, to those of us who are empty nesters, to our older people, the word of God. Get it in your heart, get it in your life, mind, get it in your life. It's so important. And I close. I guess I like music, probably because I don't know how to sing. I close with a song that I've been singing all week. I'm not going to sing it to you. Everybody cheered and clapped. But the words of it, it's an old Southern gospel song. We used to sing it when I pastored in Tallahassee, Florida. The words are, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day, to help me do the best I can, for I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine, that I may see the blessed way. Keep me, that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption songs someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand as I onward go and daily meet the foe. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. My challenge today to each one of you, first of all, to those of you that maybe don't have a time regularly of reading the word, is that as I close in prayer, you would make a commitment to God to each day find time to read the word of God. Pastor Brian, Connie, myself, we'd be happy to help you to find out where is the best place to start. Read the word of God. Maybe you read it, but not enough, not consistently. Make a commitment as I close in prayer that you will become consistent before God to read the word of God. Allow yourself to grow as a Christian by getting into this book. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the word of God, and I thank you what it's meant in my life and in my family and to my children and now to my grandchildren. I thank you for this, and I pray today, Lord, that as we have spoken about the word of God, that there are people here that maybe need this reminder. They need the reminder to find their place in the word of God on a daily basis. We pray that that commitment would be made in their heart of hearts right now. We ask, Lord, that you will bless each one that has been here And may you continue to bring growth to our lives individually and growth to this church, Lord, as Pastor Brian breaks the word open to us every week. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon this congregation as we come to the conclusion of our service. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.